Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
Man, I don't know where this week went for you guys, but it flew by. And the Buccaneers are getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers Sunday at Raymond James Stadium. Welcome in, Buccaneers Total Access for Friday night. I'm Scott Ledger. We're sitting down with number 81, otherwise known as Run Michael Run, to Gene Deckerhoff. I mean, I'm not sure how your career is going to turn out, but you've got the title for your movie already.
Yes, I think we both have made a career for one another. That's what everybody is knowing me by. And again, thank y'all for having me, and glad to be here.
Well, congratulations. You know, tough loss. And you never want to be, you know, it's kind of like you say, yeah, I've had some kick returns. I made another big catch. But you'd rather trade all that in for the W, I bet.
6-2 would be pretty right now. And, you know, we watched Atlanta play Baltimore, and they're still playing good. So they're trying to make it tough for us. So we just got to keep on track and, you know, keep getting wins. We got a big game against another division opponent, against Carolina. So we got to really get a win here and, you know, just kind of stay on track. And, like I said, we'll get to play them again, but just play the team that we have on our schedule and get a win. The majority of the times we go out and everything else kind of take care of itself.
That's Michael Spurlock. He's our guest tonight. Get on the phones at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. We take your phone calls. You know, you brought something up there I was going to talk about a little later on, but it's almost like that strength of schedule that college uses for rankings. The Bucks had to use that, but early on, the whole knock was, well, you beat Cleveland, and they haven't won any. You know, and
right.
Well, now Cleveland's turn around, boom, they beat the Patriots, boom, they beat the Saints. Yeah. Now, last night, the Ravens are expected to be a good team. The Ravens are taken to the mat by the team that you almost took to the mat in their crib. You're a young team, so you don't have a lot to draw on. You know what I mean? It's not
right.
Like you have 6 years of football. You go, oh, I remember this game. And that.
Right.
So what I'm asking the young players now is, look back at the teams you've played now, and yeah. And it's a legit 5-3. I know it's legit to you guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
to the people that say you haven't played anybody, look what happened last night.
I mean, we don't pick the schedule, but I mean, if you look at it, I think the tide has turned. NFC South just legitimately has three playoff contenders, and I think we're all fighting for, you know, a spot, even, you know, a bye. But at the same time, the analysts, they have, you know, they say what they say. If we turn around and beat Pittsburgh and New Orleans and Atlanta, then now they're talking about, well, there was luck. So I think the analysts always have something to say. That's their job, to kind of make the news and as well as give their opinion, and everybody has that opinion. But, you know, with the 6-1 guys that we have in our room, we go out and we play whoever's on our schedule. We don't pick them. We just play them, and that's the way we look at it.
That's Michael Spurlock. Let's, you know, real quick, we'll look back at that game. Falcons, Michael Turner gets his second touchdown of the game. They're up 14-0. And your 68-yarder that you get all the way down to the 32. What were you thinking before? And take me through that play, because, you know, other than the guy having an angle on you, you take that one to the house too.
Well, I mean, the games before, we've kind of sputtered on special teams. Special teams around here, defense and special teams, what we kind of hold our hat on. And it hadn't gone as well as we had hoped for it, but, I mean, we just felt it in the air. Me and Maurice Stovall, we were talking about it before the game. You know, everybody asking, how do you feel? It's game day. And, I mean, if you can't get jacked up for, you know, the Atlanta Falcons 5-2, you're 5-2. This is, if you don't know what this means, you know, maybe you'll learn later on, but, you know, this is a big game. And, you know, I've always been told that big players step up in big games and make big plays. So we were just going out trying to make a play, trying to give our team a spark, and we did. It was it led to our first strong drive as well as our first points.
Yeah, great touchdown to Aurelius Ben, his first touchdown. What'd you say to him when he came off the sideline?
Well, we thought that he should have had one early on against Arizona, but just, you know, that's going to be the first of many to come, and, you know, keep it up. I mean, Regis has just been progressing from day one since he's gotten here, and he's done nothing but work. And, I mean, all you can say to a guy like that is just keep up the good work and, you know, don't slack up.
Nice catch by him. Makes it 14-7. Matt Bryant makes it 17-7 a little later on.
And before you get, we get to the second half and your other kick return and that awesome third down, I think it was like third and 13 or something,
where,
where Josh hits you in stride. Mike Williams gets a 58-yarder and takes it to the house. And in the postgame show, I used the phrase quick strike offense.
All right.
That's never been used in Tampa Bay, bro. It's never been used in Tampa Bay. I'm serious. It's always been run the ball, play defense, play good special teams. Not, right, hey, here's a 58-yarder to go with last week's 47-yarder. To go, you know, it's a good feeling for a young wide receiver crew and a big arm quarterback to be making big plays.
Well, the funny thing about it, I don't even think most of the guys, especially on offense, maybe some of the older guys, but I don't even think they remember, you know, the Bucs offense back in the day that it was, I mean, when I think it was when Gruden first got here, it was, okay, you know, we're going to hit you, run slants, and you know, just move the chains. It wasn't so much of a big play offense.
The phrase is dink and dunk.
So, you know, I mean, the funny thing with our guys is a lot of them just go out there and I don't even think they know or even think of it as a job yet. It's just them, you know, doing what they love to do and they're having fun doing it. And that's a great thing to look at. And, you know, our coaches kind of stay on us about, you know, be a pro and go in and make sure we work. But the guys put in work, but they're having so much fun out there that it doesn't even feel like work. You see Mike Williams take a slant to the house. I mean, when the last time have you seen that? So the offense and I think the team is just changing all the way around that, you know, you look at our games in the fourth quarter, the offense has come back and gone down and scored points. And, I mean, it's really showing just how well we're gelling with Josh and how Josh is growing and just taking this offense and this team to a whole nother level.
You know, it's funny because we talk about the young receivers, but, you know, this is your, what, fourth or fifth year in the league?
Fifth.
This is your fifth year in the league.
Right.
So you're one of the wily veterans on this team, especially in the wide receiver room. Other than, I think you and Mo.
Mo, we are the
you and Mo, the old
grandfathers.
You're
right
the old
now.
Fart. You're the old farts.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's funny because when I was here at first, you know, it was almost to be seen and not heard because you had the Derrick Brooks, the Rundays, you know, the Joey Galloways, the Ikes.
Yeah,
and
Hilliard,
now,
sure,
you know,
yeah,
those guys left. And now I come back, I'm like, oh, man, like, how old are you? They're like 21, 23. I'm like, man, y'all make me feel old. And, I mean, it's fun, though. The guys give you so much energy because you remember when you used to be able to bounce around like they're doing. But at the same time, we feed off each other and we go out there and have a bunch of fun.
That's Michael Spurlock, number 81. Get on the phone lines. We'll take your calls in a little while. Matt Bryant makes it 27-14. And, you know, I think we'll – Jerry, by the way, a note to you. We'll run Michael's 89-yard kick return call on the way out of our break. The reason I'm saying is because Gene paints the picture so well. I don't want to ruin it for you, but I will say that he kind of sets the stage for you. It's almost like you guys are working in tandem here.
Yeah, it
that
seems that way.
squirts between Mo Stovall's legs. And it looked like everybody, it's kind of just slowed down for half a second. Like there was just a glitch in the matrix. And suddenly, boom, 90 yards later, you're – just give me your call on that. What happened there?
Well, I mean, we play in Atlanta, and everybody knows that. I mean, just watching film, they like to kick us in the corner. So I'm kind of jumping the kicker to get a head start on him, and I guess he mishits it. And I'm like, okay, Mo's going to get this ball. I'm just going to go and back him up, do my usual routine. Somehow the ball gets
right
through.
Right through the wickets.
I'm like, okay, don't panic. Just pick the ball up and go from there. I pick the ball up, and the guy kind of peeks around Mo and just runs into Mo. And everything else, it was almost like I was invisible because I'm like, it's eight. I watched it maybe 10 times. It's eight people right there. I make a miss.
They're like flat-footed.
Flat-footed.
They're flat-footed.
I'm not the tallest man. I wear a size 13. The guy tries to, you know, wrap me up around my ankles. Somehow I go out of bounds, and my foot, I have big feet. They land inbounds, and I'm looking like it got to be somebody else. It got to be. Nobody's there, and it's touchdown. I mean, it's just, only way I can say it's just an act of God that happened. That's the only way I can explain it.
Well, I beg to differ now because we asked Mike Williams the other day, and he goes, we practiced the sideline drill.
Yeah.
It's like a balance thing where you're running down the sides. Give me real quick before we go to break. Give me an example of what that is. Do they just throw you something? You know,
we get kicks that way. We also get passes where you almost – it's all just body control, being able to shift your weight and to maneuver your body in, you know, awkward positions to where you don't go out of bounds. And coaches do it. Like I said, it's a, you think it's a meaningless drill, but you'd be surprised how it all just, you know, comes into play. It might not come into play when you think it does, but sooner or later you're like, yeah, I appreciate you for going over that drill, coach.
Beautiful run back. We'll get to it when we come back from the break, 27-21. And, of course, some more heroics from you deep in the Buck territory. We'll come back and do that. Get on the phone lines, guys. You can talk to Michael tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. Don't forget our pregame on The Animal at 10:30 Sunday morning. Network at noon at US 103.5 and a 1 o'clock kickoff from Raymond James Stadium as the Bucs are looking to go to 6-3 against the Carolina Panthers. We'll come back and do more of your Buccaneers Total Access for Friday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Bucs trail 27-14. We've been a great come-from-behind team, but so have the Falcons been behind Matt Ryan. Of course, we know the story. It's well-documented. The fourth-quarter comebacks engineered by our quarterback, Josh Freeman. Oh, a wobbly kick by Koenig. It's going to go through the legs of Stovall. Maury Stovall from the 10-yard line with the football is Michael Spurlock. He breaks out. He's at the 30, 35 to the 40. He's down the sideline to the 40, to the 35. To the... Run, Michael. Run, son. He's to the 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. And the Buccaneers score. He tightrope down the sideline. How in the world did he stay in bounds?
He stayed in bounds because they practiced that, and that's how now we're going to tell that to Gene on Sunday when we do the pregame with him. But you know what was awesome right after that was the onside kick.
Yes. It was a very bossy call because, I mean, it just shows, you know, Coach Raheem is with us as well. You know, he believes in us. Like, if my offense just gets this ball back, I know it's without a doubt they're going to score. So I think he felt the momentum kind of shift, and he was riding the wave and went with it. You know, luckily for them, it hit, you know, Connor, but I still don't believe it hit him.
At the 9 3/4 yard
yes,
line.
Yes, I'm like, are you
barely
serious? But, yeah. I mean, it was just it was a great call, I think.
How many different, you know, onside kick formations and ways of doing it are there for you guys? Would you say 2, 3, 4, 5,
well,
more than five?
With Coach B, I mean,
I don't want you to crack the code of the Da Vinci Code on me here.
I don't think I don't think he goes home and sleep. He's always watching games and, you know, watching what other teams do that we can do to kind of, you know, just get better. He's always finding a way to scheme up something. I mean, I've only seen a couple, but, I mean, the way his mind works with special teams, he'll come in on Wednesday. You're like, where did you get this from? But, I mean, he's always thinking and trying to scheme up. Yeah, he's always up and watching games. I remember one night he called me. A guy called a punt return on, like, the 2-yard line. He called me. He was like, you better not ever do that ever in your life or I will get you out of here. I was like, Coach, I got you. I'm watching the same play. I got you. So he's a very creative person.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes you'll see guys in a lot of collisions in this sport, and other times you'll see it's the way the ball bounces. So sometimes they hit that thing off the top and they hope it to get the bounce towards the sideline.
Right.
Other times it's this little trickle thing coming up. Well, if someone's, and it's usually the kicker that has to kind of follow it, Adam Hayward just totally surrenders himself and collides. It looked like Rams colliding. You
well,
know
the kicker,
about?
The kicker,
you
turns
get
into
that protection guy out in front of him.
He's like the president, and Adam was like his bodyguard.
Secret Service.
Yeah, he took the bullet for him, and I mean that's his job, and that's one thing you have to know your role and just do your job. That's one thing that, you know, that's what makes teams great is when everybody's doing their job, not trying to do too much, but just doing their job, and then collectively it turns into a wonderful thing.
Yeah, like I said, 9 3/4, but they do get the ball, but the Buccaneers get a good stop, and they force a punt, and we get the ball back, but we're deep on our own territory. Real loud. Must have been incredibly loud then.
Especially,
we could barely hear our announcers.
Especially with third down.
Yeah.
Third down, it seemed like they cranked that thing up. We were in their end zone, maybe on a half-inch line, if that. And, I mean, you kind of, as Coach said, you looking into his mouth. You don't hear anything. You just kind of reading his lips to see what he's saying.
third and 13. I think Josh was practically standing underneath the goalpost
when he threw that ball at
you. It was one of those, you know, where you gulp as the ball's being hiked. But, you know, a young offensive line. We'll talk about some of the players you're playing football with in a second there. But was that play called from the line of scrimmage, or was that an adjustment?
Well, it was an adjustment. And like I said, that's it goes all to, you know, Coach Olsen and Coach Van Pelt, you know, working with Josh and just his growth process. And he saw them blitz and all out us. He checked the play, and, I mean, we got a big gain out of it. He hit me on the money. And it's just one of those things that's how you're seeing that your team is growing, your quarterback is growing, when he see it happening before it even happens. He checked the play, and we hooked up. Normally, I'm on the backside of that play, and, you know, luckily – I was on the front side where I got the sluggo, and, you know, it was a big game for us.
You said you were a size 13. If you were wearing a size 11, that was a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, I slipped
was
out
it,
of
was
that.
Was that Grimes?
Yes.
Who just tripped you up by the shoelaces?
Yes, and, I mean, he stretched out. Even before I could get the ball in good, he was stretching out, trying to make sure he got any cloth to get me down. So, yeah.
Josh, that's the second time I've seen Josh put one in your hip pocket. The Cleveland touchdown was another one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he throws dimes. I don't think people understand just how big and how strong he is, but he does it effortlessly. The way he throws the ball, you don't think, you know, he can get the ball out there as well as he does with the way that, I mean, if you look at him, you think, okay, he's just lopping the ball up there, but he has a real big arm.
Yeah, unfortunately, Grimes does get the ball back.
Yeah, he
jumps the route and gets the ball back.
Jumps the route, and I think he was kind of angry from the route before, and he was like, okay, I got to find a way to make up for it, and he did. It was just an unfortunate situation, a big turnover that we wish that we wouldn't have had.
Yeah, Josh wasn't happy about it, but we did. Again, the defense gets another stop, and they're inside Buck territory there. They're at the Buck 36.
Yeah.
So that's two big stops in a row for the D in the second half that really give you a chance to pull this heroic thing that this offense has been doing.
Right.
LeGarrette gets you a nice 21-yarder. He busts one off. Caddy gets some yardage. Mike Williams moves the sticks at 3rd and 10. You get all the way out to Atlanta 45, and then we spin the wheel, and up comes the flea flicker.
Yeah.
The first time we've seen the flea flicker this year. It's been a half a year. Tell us about that huddle and everything that was going on there.
Well, I mean, we think we have some of the best receivers in the league. And, you know, one-on-one, we're going to find ways to scheme, get them up on safeties. Because safeties are usually your big hitters and not cover guys. And, I mean, Regis has phenomenal speed. We saw, you know, we're close. Hey, let's go for the juggler. So we did the flea flicker, and we got a pass interference from it. I mean, watching film,
it was at the
ball.
Six.
Yeah, it was at the six, and we get the ball on the 11. So it was just one of those situations that it was unfortunate. You want to be like, okay, could you at least move the ball up here? But, I mean, it happens. We just have to deal with it, you know. Just play the game. Don't worry about the referees. Let them do their job and you do yours. And that's scoring points, playing defense, playing special teams, whatever it is. You just make the plays. That's what you're supposed to do.
Buddy of mine texted me right after they spotted the ball at the 11, and he was actually happy about it. He said, good, they can get another first down. Because if you're on the 10 or 11, that's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
You can get eight downs to get in the end zone there.
Right.
That's not a
bad
thing. So the wide receiver bubble screen.
Right.
Actually, it was a 1 yard run by Blunt, and then the second down play was to you guys.
I thought, Preston Parker was going to slide through there. He made one guy miss, and right as he's making that guy miss, another guy comes and kind of gets a good shot on him. But we were thinking that was going to score. Unfortunately, it didn't. So we're at third down now.
Yep.
And, you know, third down, I think we. Ran the ball.
Looked like LeGarrette had reached over.
You know, in my opinion, I think, okay, you bring the sticks out. Show me how far. But they didn't. I don't even think they brought the sticks out.
No measure.
And that, I don't understand that. It's a crucial point in the game. Let me know what it is I got to do. And that way we know, okay, do we go for the first down or do we go for the touchdown? So it's a, I don't know, it was. The referees were a little different all
tough.
Around. Yeah,
it was tough.
Yeah.
It was some of the spots were borderline controversial. We won't call them controversial, but we'll call them borderline controversial.
Yeah.
You guys had pulled out, you know, quite a few games already this year.
Right.
You know, and knowing you got that close to this team. And the good news is we get them again.
Yeah.
We get them again. Yeah. We get them in our cribs. It's going to be throwback unis. Going to be Ring of Honor. Going to be a crazy game at Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it can really set the stage again. We were both 5-2 then, and we knew what we were playing for. If we take care of our business, we can have that same stage again. If we just take care of our business each game, each week, to where we get to see them again and kind of get some of that sour taste out of our mouths. You know, Atlanta Falcons lately have had our number, and, you know, we know that. But at the same time, in the back of our minds, we know we get to play them again. And I think they know. I think it was kind of one of those games that, okay, we happy we got out of here.
I don't think they know. I think they realize that you guys are the real deal too.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't realize it, then that's cool. You know, when we play again, we'll have a little reassurance for them.
You know, what can you say about Mike Williams? You know, rookie season, 5 touchdowns, playing well. Big play guy, moving the sticks, third down catches. He's made almost every catch I've ever, you know, that you can make physically, diving catches, shoe sting catches, out of bounds catches, toe tap catches. What's it like to play with this guy?
He's very funny. I mean, he goes out, he plays the game, and you know the guy wants to get better, and he's hungry just for knowledge and to go out and play the game. Like, it hurts him, like, if they make him sit out, he has to take some plays off, you know. It bothers him, but at the same time, I mean, he loves the group. He loves playing ball, and everything that he does, he wants to do it, you know, for the team. So that's a big thing about Mike. And, I mean, like I said, you've heard a lot of things about him off the field before he got here. But, I mean, he's done nothing but take care of his business on and off the field. And, I mean, that's all you can ask for.
Well, between him and Kellen Winslow, and Kellen's been drawing a lot of safety coverage, and they've been actually doubling him.
Right.
You know, those are if I threw the names out real quick, who are the go-to guys? Those are the names that are targeted more often, you know, 9 right. targets, 7 targets. The reason I'm getting to that is,
right.
you know, I'm looking at you, 2 catches, 1-3-2, 1-3-2.
Yeah.
You're getting targeted, what, about 4 or 5 times a game, maybe?
Yeah, if that many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look at the yards per catch, 20, 23, 24.5. That's 3 different games. That's only, 1, 2, 3, that's 7 catches over 3 games.
Yeah.
And that's about a 22-yard per catch. And those moved the sticks. A couple of those times, actually, I remember 2 of them were almost back-to-back in 1 drive.
Right.
It was a beautiful back shoulder throw, I remember.
Yeah. In the Arizona game.
Yeah, you're not getting in, obviously, the very infamous Cincy catch now. That sets up, that sets things up there.
Right.
So, you know, you're only going to get dialed in so many times, but you really seem to be taking advantage of those opportunities. A, let me know how that feels, and B, I would expect the targets are going to go up a little bit more once Josh Freeman says, hey, that's my boy Spurlock over there.
I mean, with me, it's just take advantage of your opportunities. I mean, you're not the number one guy. You're not going to get 8 or 9 targets, but if he targets you 3 times, you need to have 3 catches. If it's 20, 30 yards, if it's 1 yard, you need to bring the ball down. And that's just the way that I look at it. And, yeah, I mean, it would be nice if I had more targets. But, I mean, I'm not complaining because you do have Mike and you have Kellen. Those are your go-to guys. But if you're going to double those guys, then, I mean, hey, I don't mind taking it, you know, getting single coverage or whatever it is, just making my plays. Whatever it takes for us to win the game, I'm all for it. I don't – you know, most receivers, I think, are griping, oh, I need to be targeted, or I need that. It doesn't bother me. I know my role. I know what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, on third down, that's kind of been my role here, is to go out and, you know, get ready for third down and make a big play. If it comes your way, good. If it doesn't, good. You know, find a way to help your team progress. If it's first downs or if it's, you know, blocking, whatever it may be, just go do it. But, I mean, like I said, in our receiving room, we're about keeping points and seeing who's doing good, who's doing what. And it's just a grind for us. We go out every week and every day trying to outdo one another, and that makes the room even better, but it raises the bar of the expectations.
Sure.
You know, so
it's a healthy competition.
Oh, it's a very healthy competition. You know, everybody at the end of the game, you know, is happy if you won and, you know, not too happy if you lost. But when we come in on Monday and we watch that film, everybody has to tell the truth. The film is going to tell it, either you tell it or the film tells it. So we get a grade sheet and everybody's looking, oh, well, I got 12 points. How many points you got? So it's a very healthy competition, but it breathes about, you know, excellence. And that's what we're all about.
That's Michael Spurlock, number 81 of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. You know, what number is number 16 available? I keep looking at all these wide receivers down in the teens now. It seems to be the trendy thing to do in the NFL.
I think 16
and you're
is
up there
available.
At 81, you know?
Well, I was 17.
Yes, you were. Yeah. That's right, when you ran back the first kick.
Right, I was 17, and when I came back the Jimbo asked me, was like, what number do you want? So I was like, I had 17. I would like to have that back. So I talked to my wife, and she was like, what numbers do they have available? And I told her it was like 17, 81, and some other numbers. She was like, let's do 81. I was like, yeah, let's do 81, and it's infinite one. It's one infinite God. So,
ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Interchangeable. Everybody wants to think wide receivers are interchangeable. You got the X, the Z, the different positions. It's basically a young squad. You're one of the older guys on there. How would you rate the whole group as being really starting to know all the positions? In other words, Aurelius, if you were to say, Aurelius, I need you to know every position right here on this play, you'll get it down. But, you know, the whole playbook takes a while. It's a lot to consume. It really is. But where are you guys at when it comes to things like that?
I think we are progressing very well as a group. I mean, me and Mo have been in this offense pretty much the longest because it's almost some of it is a carryover from what John Gruden did, but a lot of it is different.
So, some of the vertical Rams reference I keep hearing.
Right.
Okay,
so, you know, one thing from being a rookie up to now, I've been in enough offense that – the verbiage changes. That's about it. Everybody runs the same stuff.
Yeah, the receiver tree is the same.
It's the same. It's just, okay, some people use numbers, some people use words. And, like, one thing is a dig. Usually in college, a dig is a squaring route, where here it's a curl. So that's like for Mike. Mike had to kind of get that old language out of his mind and get ready to, like, okay, this is a curl, this is a curl. But overall, I think we're doing well.
So it's just the verbiage.
It's just the verbiage and really kind of tying, okay, when I was in college, this is what that was. And you just kind of time together until you get to the point where, okay, this is easy. You know, I hear this, I already know what the play is because we run this out of that. And I think the guys, as we go on, they're progressing very well for the simple fact we're moving everybody around in different places. And I think we were more spoon-fed early on, and now he's like, okay, I'm trying to –
well, flea flickers have run that.
he's trying to make sure to get his best players in positions to succeed. So the only way you do that is by, okay, he's not going to be a sitting duck here all the time. Let me move him inside. Let me move him over here. And I think that's what, you know, Coach Olsen has done well. And I think we have taken it in well as well with different plays coming in each and every week. The receivers, I mean, from my grade book, I don't think we get very many busts. I mean, you're going to get mental errors, but just flat-out busts, I don't think you get them.
It's maybe not adjusting to a coverage. Probably the mistake is that, but not running the wrong route.
No. Yeah. I don't – I mean, you might get one or two in what – this is eight games. You might have gotten one or two. So I think that's very good.
That's a good sign.
Because nobody knows that's the wrong route except us because – we're doing it. We know what it should be. Everybody else think, okay, he ran the greatest route ever. So when we get in the room Monday, that's the only reason you know that you did wrong or when you come to the sideline. So
that's Michael Spurlock from the Bucks. We're going to the phones. Johnny, you're up on Buccaneers Total Access. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Michael, brother, I wanted to I don't normally call shows like this. I much rather listen, and I'm a big fan, obviously, of the team. And much like the Bucks this year, man, where, you know, we're wearing a whole lot of folks saying much positive things about what they expected. And I mean, I look at your career so far, and you know, much like the Bucks are surprising people, you were let go off this team. You bounced around, as far as I know, one or two more teams, and you know, from practice squad, and then let go. And I mean, you could have very easily, you know, shut it down. And I don't know what other kind of career choice you would have, but you could have very easily gone that way, man. And I just think what you're doing right now, the heart you're showing, and the way you're playing the game right now, you may not be aware of this or not, but I bet you're motivating a lot of people in that team. The way you're going about your business, man. I wanted to thank you and for the way you're playing, and keep it up, man. That's what life's all about, and you're showing a lot of heart by your performance so far. So stay healthy, man, and the best of luck. You guys take care.
All right, you too, and thank you so much, man. I appreciate you, you know, for acknowledging that, and I really hope that I am, you know, spurring on a lot of other guys to just really just be tenacious about whatever they're doing. And this is our job, and just to be a pro, come in and work, and hard work does pay off.
Rondi Barber said a couple of weeks ago, when Dave Moore was asking him about his 200th game, mm-hmm. he was recollecting his rookie season where he only got a helmet once.
Yeah,
the whole season basically set, didn't play at all, practice, but never got a chance to play.
Right.
John Lynch was on the bubble thinking he might get caught.
Right.
So bouncing around the league, I hear that phrase. I go, well, I don't know if that's perseverance to me. That's the grind. If you're going to make it in the pros, you're either, you know, you're going to be a first rounder, and you've got, God gave you a couple extra genes, you know what I mean? You're just at that level.
Right.
And then there's everybody else, and then it's just getting better at your craft. So let's talk about that for a second here. Jerry, you want to hit a break now? All right, let's hit a break, and we'll come back and talk to Mike in Tampa first. But I want to talk to you about, because I asked you in the locker room about a month ago, and I said, you know, it's really good to see you being known as a wide receiver, and you kind of lit up, and you wanted to talk about it. So we'll come back and talk about that as well. Get on the phones. Get right behind Mike, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's Friday night, Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
To Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Buccaneers Total Access. Michael Spurlock sitting down for Friday night Buck Talk. Don't forget, we'll hit the airways 10:30 with a local pregame on the Animal. 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium as we take on the Carolina Panthers. Jeff, stand by. You're on deck. We're going right back to the phones. And Mike, you're up with Michael Spurlock.
Hey, Mike. Hey, TJ. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. I want to say if there is any such thing as a halfway decent loss, that was it, because I think everybody's been pretty optimistic after that. So and with any luck, we'll see another return at home this weekend.
That's the plan. You know, me and Maurice were talking. Like, I don't know what it is, but we're kind of feeling a little something in the air. You know, hopefully, you know, we can get a couple more before the season is over, as well as in the playoffs.
Most definitely. Simple question. I just want to know how you would rank these receivers to this receiving core as compared to any that you played with in the past, and I'll hang up and listen off the air. Good luck Sunday.
All right, thank you. Well, the receiving core that I played with in the past were a lot of very, you know, seasoned veterans. And, I mean, I don't think I would so much rank them. The guys that I played with in the past, their knowledge was so far beyond anything that I would probably even think of. But I think our guys, as far as talent, I think we could play with anybody. The guys I played with before, as anybody that's out there right now. So I don't think I would rank them, you know, right now. I think I'll wait and let them get a few years under their belt, and then I'll try to rank them. But, I mean, I think talent-wise, I think we can play with anybody you put up.
Yeah, it's, you know, you always would see other guys throw the jump balls, the pass, the pitch and catch, you know. And back when, heck, Dante Culpepper used to throw passes to Randy Moss.
Right.
And then you started to see the Buccaneers guys develop that trust with Josh and vice versa. And we started We've seen some touchdown passes to you. The one that Sammy caught in the end zone last year against Green Bay, back in the corner. You know,
right.
The,
I was watching that game.
Those kind of throws are the only person that's going to make that play is the wide receiver.
Right.
He's either going to make it or he's not going to make it. It's a good throw from a quarterback's perspective, but it's an incredible athletic maneuver.
Well, it's
not for you guys. You guys are around it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like the catches Winslow makes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the catches Winslow make are ridiculous. I mean, even we are in awe when we see him make catches. It's unbelievable. Like I told him, I was like, man, I want to, you know, I've seen your father on the field for us, you know, films and stuff like that. But I just want to see, like, I want to compare you guys because they say he was, if not the best, one of the best. And if I'm getting anything with Kellen like that, I'm like, wow. It's just something to watch. If you've never seen him play, it's pretty amazing.
That's Michael Spurlock and Buccaneers Total Access. We're going back to the phones. Got an open line right behind Jeff at 813-990-4620. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Buccaneers Total Access.
Hey, I appreciate that. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Wanted to call up. I've actually played some softball with Mike this year, and one thing I've recognized about Mike is that he's very mature and has a lot of character. And I think that with this young Buck team, the one thing that he's bringing to the table is that leadership of having grown over the last few years. And
played some softball,
team.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, what position did he play?
He played all over the field. He played wherever we needed him. And
specifics. Be specific. Give me a position.
Oh, he played outfield mostly. He was the one fast enough to flag the balls down. So a bunch of us were the old guys out there. So he kind of helped all of us with the hamstring pulls and was able to catch those balls a little easier and get around the bases. Matter of fact, he chased us around the bases. So,
oh yeah.
But I think Mike's a heck of a player, and I think probably the biggest thing that he doesn't toot his own horn. That's why I wanted to call, because I think the maturity and leadership that he brings is something that the Bucs have needed, and I think it's going to help continue to grow these young players, and I think it's going to help not only him but the Bucs as well.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and I hope you're resting and recovering well.
Okay, well, we lost Jeff on the phone call there, but when did you have time to play softball?
This summer. I went to Idlewild baseball field.
Sure.
And it was just a church league, and had the opportunity to meet very, very great guys, you know, very God-fearing men. And I was telling somebody earlier that, you know, earlier when I was here, I had a relationship with a lot of different people. I think more so because of the kick and, you know, the return and all that. But when I came back this time, relationships that I've made are just really lasting ones. Not that they're any better than the ones before, but it's kind of opened my eyes to just a different side. There is more people that I met now are more just for me being a person and not so much a football player or the guy that ran the first kickback. So, I met a lot of great people out there that, you know, those are going to be relationships and, you know, friends for a lifetime.
How many assists do you have? How many guys you throw out?
I didn't really have to throw too many out. They were getting mad at me. Well, they say it was illegal to have a Bucs player on the softball team because, you know, I'm not the fastest, but I have pretty good speed.
You're a wide receiver in the NFL.
I was running a lot of balls down.
You go back. Well, you play baseball.
I played baseball. But I don't. You know, most people think, oh, he's a football player. He can't be that good. He may be athletic, but not that good. And I would, like, hit maybe a routine double and get a triple out of it. And they were like, oh, y'all cheating, y'all getting these Bucs players. So it was pretty funny.
Ringer!
Someone
brought
funny.
A ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, for anybody who's ever seen Michael catch the ball over his shoulder a couple of times this year, once for a touchdown, you would assume he goes back well on a baseball hit, as they say, right?
A little bit.
You got it.
Bit.
All right, let's go to Rick and Holiday. You're up with Michael Spurlock. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to ask you, what's the difference like playing for a coach like John Gruden or the coach like you have now? I really think Raheem's something else. I mean, I'm 51 years old, and I'd suit up and play for him.
I think they have a lot of the same philosophies. I think the difference is with Coach Gruden. Coach Gruden was more so he loved his veterans. And, I mean, you got to love veterans because that's kind of the leadership of the team. And I think with Coach Raheem, he's more so like me and him were talking just from the bottom up. He wants guys that are just hungry, do anything to play, do anything to help their team win. And, you know, the guys from the bottom are usually your free agents, your low-round draft picks. He's always trying to find a diamond in the rough. And with this team, we're making new veterans by the young leadership that we have. And, you know, from years to come, you're going to see these guys be Buccaneers for life. So I don't know if it's so much a difference other than one is more with the young guys and one is more with his veterans. But I think both of them like winning. Both of them are very fiery, and they're players, players' coaches.
You there, Rick? Okay, Rick, good call. Very good call. You know, do you think you'll see John Gruden in Dallas, by the way, you think?
That's the word.
I mean, that's the perfect
fit
for him. Lots of veterans.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Big paycheck.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be a very pretty paycheck. But, you know, we'll see. And, you know, a lot of coaches may be opening for their job. You still have Coach Garrett, who's the interim coach. So
sure.
You just never know. I think one thing that you do know about Jerry Jones, he makes sure he handpicks them, as well as he kind of makes sure they have the same philosophies that he has. So we'll see what happens.
You know, when you're the owner, if you want to make yourself the general manager, he's done that for the last 20 years. So, you know, why? I don't think it's going to change now.
Well, that's one thing that I think a lot of people are kind of stating their opinion about is how much power will they give Coach Gruden and
how much will he want?
Yeah, how much will he want? So, you know, one thing about Coach, Jerry Jones being the owner, the GM, he has a lot of power, and he's in there on a lot of the decisions. So, you know, I don't know how many coaches like that and, you know, how many coaches can deal with it. If he can deal with it, I wouldn't be surprised to see him there.
You guys win the first two. You lose a tough one at home to Pittsburgh. There's a bye week. You beat Cincy on the road. Suffer a tough loss here against New Orleans. You win St. Louis here and Arizona on the road. Basically, you haven't lost two back-to-back games is what I'm getting at here. And that's, I said that early in the season, a great sign of a maturing team is they find a way not, because it can spiral. It can really, you know, two losses in a row can turn into four in a row. And it's best to just stop the bleeding early. So let's focus a couple of minutes real quick on the fact that we cannot and should not take Carolina Panthers. I don't care if they're down to their seventh running back. I don't care how many rookies they're starting. They're still an NFL football team.
Yeah, and I think that's just on paper. You know, people are saying this team is young, that team is young, this guy is out. I mean, you look at our team. Just look at me, myself. When they looked at the roster, I'm pretty sure I wasn't the guy circled that, oh, we might have to watch out for this guy. And that's the same thing with Carolina. They have a lot of young players that, you know, guys have seen in practice and, you know, haven't got the opportunity. Now they had the opportunity. So they're still the Carolina Panthers, no matter how young, what back they're on or what quarterback. It doesn't matter. When you go out there and play the game, Carolina is a division opponent. You got to play them like that. And like you said, we have to nip it in the bud real quick. Go out there and try to, you know, get ahead of them fast to where they come out of their running game what they want to do. So that's one that we've looked at all week as well as on offense, try to go score quick and often and get back on the right foot, get that sour taste out of our mouth with that so close but so far away loss against Atlanta and try to get a win this weekend against Carolina.
I asked Josh about slow starts, and he said it really wasn't as much a slow start as our defense had some tough times getting off. Atlanta used a lot of clock time, and they possessed the ball 8 minutes here and 9 minutes there. So you guys only ended up with four possessions in the first half of a football game.
Right.
Normally you get six, seven, you know, sometimes as many as eight possessions in the first half of a game, depending on, you know, how many three and outs.
Going,
you know.
Right. And I mean,
but the question is, how can you guys take advantage of whatever you get? Three possessions, four possessions. How can you get to a better, more consistent, faster start? Because that seems to be the glitch. You guys are great in the third and fourth quarter.
Be efficient. I mean, if you go back into the Atlanta game, we kind of knew their style of ball. you know, we're going to control the clock. We're going to keep the ball out of your hands. And when you do get it, we're going to try to light you up and heat you up and get the ball to where – give it back to our offense. So just go out and be efficient. When we get drives or whenever we get the ball, especially the first drive of the game, you got to get points. And 3 points is nice, but 7 is even better. We have to make it a point to get 7 points and kind of put it in everybody's mind – 10 yards. We need 10 yards. Get 10 yards. However we get it, if it's, you know, 3 here, 3 there, and then get 4, whatever it takes, get 10 yards. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, sputter because putting your defense back on the field, I mean, I don't care how good your defense, they get tired. And that's one thing you saw last night with the Ravens. You were thinking, okay, I mean, I know I was thinking it was 21-20. I went to bed and I was like, okay, I'm going to check in the morning just to see. And they came back and won, and they're very efficient in what they're doing. They want to Michael Turner to run the ball, and they want to get the ball to Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez. And they're very efficient in doing that. And that's one thing if we take anything from that game is they know that we were there, but at the same time, we need to be more efficient. And by doing that is if it's running the ball, every run needs to be 3 yards. We need 3 yards.
Can't have negative plays. You can't have watch out plays. For the penalties that kill drives,
and I mean,
too. Yeah,
sure. That's one thing with them. They stay ahead of the sticks, and staying ahead of the sticks is first down, you're getting 2 or 3 yards. And the second down is a run, a pass down. It's not so much, okay, we're 1st and 15 now, so everybody in America know we're finna pass this ball. So, you know, stay in manageable down and distance to where your playbook is open.
Oh, sure. You no don't better way to slow anything. Down a pass rush than 3rd and 3.
3rd and 3, because they don't know if you run
exactly,
a pass. So,
exactly, yeah.
That's one
yeah.
thing that we have to do, and we have to do a better job of. And I think, you know, it's 8 games under our belt. I mean, these next 8 games, I'm really going to say that you're going to be surprised with what you see, because this practice this week has been phenomenal. You know, we had a couple of miscues here and there, but just the way it's starting to bother people when – okay, we might miss a pass or pass is overthrown. It's starting to get that little itch that, okay, it's a problem. So everybody is striving for efficiency as well as excellence.
All right, that's Michael Spurlock, number 81. We'll come back and wrap it up and let you know where you can find Buccaneers Radio all weekend long. That's right, Sunday, about 7.5 hours of Bucs coverage right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back as we wrap it up with Michael Spurlock on a Friday night. Don't forget our pregame 10:30 on the Animal, 1 o'clock kickoff from Raymond James Stadium. You guys got a chance to go 6-3 here. You won 3 football games last year. And this is a young team. All these different things we keep talking about over and over in the media. But the bottom line is there's just such a great chemistry. There really is. You guys are all rooting. Like you said earlier, you said there's a healthy competition within the team, but we're all rooting for each other. We're all rooting for each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one thing. I think that's what makes everybody better. If, you know, if you're sitting there and you have 5 guys that are just awesome, and then you got the rest of the guys are just sitting there like, okay, well, I know he has his position, so I'm just going to do enough to get by, then nobody's getting better. But if you got 61 guys out there grinding each and every day and, you know, pushing each other to the max to where nobody can relax because they're bringing guys in every Monday and Tuesday to replace you, I mean, that's going to, you know, breed about a very healthy team but a very competitive team to where on Sunday – everybody's looking like, hey, I got to do something to help this team win. And, you know, that's one thing that we do. We scratch and claw and find a way to win.
Well, 6-3, this is a big game. This is a division game. It'll get you back to 2-2 within the division, and you'll still get a chance to have New Orleans. Of course, that'll be in their crib, but Atlanta back here. So, you know, you got a couple of teams in front of you. You got a 6-win team. You got a 5-win team. And you guys have a chance to stay right in the hunt. Like you said, who would have thunk at the beginning of the season that 3 teams in the same division would all be knocking, not on the playoffs door yet. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, bro. But in about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, tell us what we are going to see this Sunday in Raymond James Stadium.
I think you're going to see it's the second half, and it's 0-0. I think you're going to see a very much more mature football team, as well as a more tenacious football team. That game against Atlanta left a very bad taste in our mouth and as well as in our heart. So we know what we're playing for now if we didn't before. So just get ready to see a very electrifying team on Sunday.
You got it. Great radio, dude.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Michael Spurlock, thank you, everybody that called. We'll talk to you Sunday morning on the Buccaneer pregame show. I'm Scott Ledger on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.